is Jehovah, God of creation. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the balm of Gilead, the rock of ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia, sing alleluia. Great I am, the God of Abraham. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace I am. The God of Israel, the everlasting one. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia, sing alleluia. Your provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Messiah, the Son He sent to you, He testified of Him. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia, sing alleluia. Continuing the story, God still loves the world, so God sends you. May the Lord be near you, always there to guide you. May the Lord of love fill you to the full. Then we'll share God's glory, continuing the story. God still loves the world, so God sends you. Thank you. always there to guide you. May the Lord of love fill you to the full. Then we'll share God's glory, continuing the story. God still loves the world, so God sends you. God still loves this world, so God sends you.
Reading from the book of Joshua, chapter 4, verses 19 through 24. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God.'"
All right, well, hey, everybody. So,
Joshua, what is a passage all about?
God's faithfulness,
which is where I want to land today as we close out this difficult year, to say the least. And it's from Joshua, then, that we read the ancient story. What is a story of God's faithfulness, of God's mercy extending? What is a story that is told generation upon generation? The story we have considered in years past, a story that invites us to also share our own stories of God's faithfulness. Now, the backdrop to this passage is that the Israelites have been enslaved in Egypt by Pharaoh for several hundred years, and in the midst of what has become this unbearable oppression, they cry out to God for deliverance, and God, hearing their cry, he raises up and empowers this man Moses to deliver the people from bondage to Pharaoh. And so now, finally, it's been 400 years of Egyptian enslavement, and then add on another 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Joshua, now as their leader, is guiding them home, guiding them into the promised land. And so they come to the Jordan River, the last sort of barrier between them and the promised land, what is the land of Canaan. Now, much of the year, the Jordan River can be navigated. However, in the spring, it's the rains and the melting snow from Mount Hermon in particular that could turn the river into an absolute torrent, spreading out over the floodplain, extending a mile wide, making for what is a treacherous reality. But it is then that Joshua assures the people that God was about to do something, and this something would show them, would reveal to them, so that they would know that he was their God and he was with them. What is another connection, a sort of precursor, we could say, to the reality of Advent and Christmas, right? The Christ child is born, a son given, Emmanuel, God with us. And Joshua says, even then, God was with them. And so, as the priests then carried the Ark of the Covenant into the flooded waters, it is then the river stops flowing and the people cross over on dry land, after which, again, the river begins to flow. And it's here, then, that we come to Joshua chapter 4. The people have taken 12 stones out of the river, camped at Gilgal, and Joshua, it says, set up at Gilgal the 12 stones. In Hebrew, set up is the word kufav mim, and can be translated to become in a standing position, meaning this idea of staying fixed, or this idea of to establish. And so he has the stones placed into this standing position, gathering them fixed, that they might establish a reminder. And the end of the story is not so much the crossing of the river, it is about that, absolutely, but even more, it is about this pile of stones, right? Standing fixed, establishing this testimony. A testimony about the witness of God, this God with us. And the story it tells to future generations. The text goes on to say, in the future, and this is Joshua speaking to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. And what we need to get here is the text tells the purpose, reveals the meaning of the stones, right? That they are to be a reminder, a memorial, a sticky note, a testimony of God's faithfulness. So when those who come later, who have not experienced what is this great revelation of God, when they see the stones and ask about them, it is then the story of God's great faithfulness is shared, right? And so it's a story to be remembered and told for a specific reason. And the story is told of this God who was with them at work in their midst, even when they couldn't see it, even when they couldn't take hold, when they were overwhelmed, when the struggle felt too much, and they were left to wonder if God even cared. It's then enter the stones telling the story of God's faithfulness. And I imagine each one of us has wondered the same at some point this year. Maybe at times feeling overwhelmed, and maybe the struggle has been feeling a bit too much at times. And it's then that entered the stones, right? Telling the story of God's faithfulness. And so, yes, we need that story. We need that story of God's faithfulness. But not only that story, because over and over, the ancient tradition calls us to share our own stories. Our own experiences, right? Your story and my story. We see this playing out all over the Psalms. Here's one from Psalm 100. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. And then dropping down to verse 5, here is why. It says, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. And then here it is. His faithfulness continues through all generations. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Here's another from Psalm 89. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever with my mouth. And here it is. I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. Over and over, the ancient tradition calls us to share the story. One story connecting to another story, your story and my story, right? With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known. And the point is, absolutely, we need that ancient story, right? We need to listen to the story that the stones tell. But as the psalmist tells us, it's not just the ancient story, right? We need each other's stories. When we are overwhelmed and wonder if God really cares, we need the testimony of the stones. We need the testimony of the ancient story, yes, but we need the testimony of our stories, your story and mine, stories that move us, encourage us, inspire us, stories that give us hope and a future, reminding us of God's faithfulness, right? His mercy extending. And so like we have in years past, I want to again invite us this year to join with those who over the centuries, generation after generation, have entered into this tradition, this custom, this practice of telling not just the ancient story, but our story, our experience of God's faithfulness. Again, from Psalm 89, with my mouth I will make God's faithfulness known through all generations, right? From generation to generation. And so with that, let's not forget, even in the midst of the raging waters, when we can barely take hold, when we feel overwhelmed, when the struggle is a bit too much, and even we are left wondering, does God even care? I imagine each one of us has wondered the same at some point this year, but it's then that enter the stones, telling the story of God's faithfulness. And we need those stories as much today, as much now as ever. And so as I bring this to a close, and as we kind of bring the year to a close, I'm reminded of one story no doubt many of you have heard, of a wealthy lawyer in Chicago Horatio had done very well, investing heavily in real estate. He was, by all counts, a devoted husband and father, a devout Christian. But it was the year 1870 that marked for Horatio this tragic turn. Horatio and his wife Anna, their only son, died of scarlet fever at the young age of 4 years old. The following year, every one of their investments was lost in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. It was only 2 years later that tragedy struck again. Anna and the couple's four daughters had climbed aboard a French vessel heading for England. Horatio, after taking care of some business, planned to join them for what would be a family holiday. But it was only a few days later when Horatio received the devastating news that the ship had collided with another vessel. 226 passengers died, his four daughters among them. His wife did survive. From there, we have a number of different accounts as to what happened, but it is at some point not long after that Horatio poured out his heart writing a poem that was later put to music, titled It Is Well With My Soul, and many of you no doubt are familiar with it. It's an expressive poem put to music that has really served as a testimony, a story, right? Horatio's story of God's faithfulness in the midst of tragedy. Telling not just a story, but his story, his experience of God's faithfulness, even when he couldn't see it, when he couldn't take hold, when he was feeling overwhelmed, when the struggle was too much, right? It was out of the pain and out of the ache, then enters the stone, right? Telling the story of God's faithfulness. And so as we maybe look forward to the coming year, and as we reflect on this year gone by, a very difficult year, no doubt, I also want to invite us to consider, to think about, and then to reflect on God's faithfulness this past year in our lives, to give thanks even, to give praise, to lift our hearts to God for the ways that we also have experienced His faithfulness to us. In short, to kind of quiet ourselves and to consider, to think about, to reflect on, in what ways have I experienced God's faithfulness? And maybe it's a moment, maybe it's an encounter, maybe it's an event, maybe for you it flows out of a struggle or a challenge or a difficulty, maybe an inconvenience. Maybe it's a blessing that you've received, a wonder, a delight, a way that God has revealed Himself to you, brought you courage and strength, inspiration, and hope. Right? We could ask it like this: how have you seen God's faithfulness at work in your life? In the midst of whatever. Right? How have you seen God's faithfulness at work, be it good times or bad? We could also ask it this way: how have I sensed God's presence and His love this past year? And as you consider, as you think about, as you reflect, let me invite you also to share. Maybe you share with a spouse or a child, maybe a loved one, maybe a family member or friend. Maybe you share with a neighbor. Again, as it was in ancient times, it remains, I think, true today that it is in our sharing together, right, our stories of God's faithfulness, that together we are encouraged, we are strengthened, we are inspired. Together we are given hope. So I hope, again, as we bring this to a close, I'm going to invite Dan Kamek to share the song that I mentioned. Many of you know it, titled It Is Well With My Soul, as a way to draw us, to draw you into maybe a quiet moment of reflection. In what ways have you experienced God's faithfulness? How have you seen God's faithfulness at work? How have you sensed God's presence and his love? On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He, Joshua, said to the Israelites in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.